Jay McKenna is a spokesman for the Spirit of Shankly. You can follow him on Twitter at Jay McKenna. And Jay McKenna, I'm sorry, at Jay McKenna 87. Jay McKenna joins Stephen Brunt and myself on the Jeff Blair Show. Jay, thanks so much for doing this. First of all, congratulations. And you know what? If you could tell our listeners, because you know it's in Toronto and Canada, the Premiership's big here, and there are a lot of Liverpool fans. I'm unfortunately for you a bit of a Manchester United fan, but that's okay. I think we could probably live with that. But tell our listeners here in just a couple of minutes the significance of this of what you folks have done.
This is quite incredible, really. Saturday's walkout was unprecedented. It's not taken place at Anfield ever before, even when we were owned by two other American owners, Tomix and George Gillette, who nearly took us into bankruptcy. We didn't protest on this scale, but in excess of 10,000 supporters walked out of Anfield in the 77th minute in protest at ticket prices. Very loud chants about greed and enough is enough aimed towards the owners. And for us, you know, we were expecting a long battle to try and encourage the club to change their mind. But yesterday we received the news that not only were they going to completely change their mind and go back to much of what ticket prices are like now, they committed to not making any more revenue from supporters than what they currently make. They've planned to freeze these prices now for two seasons so that supporters can be assured they won't go back up. And they said sorry, as you mentioned, which was something unexpected. I was asked often by people what did Liverpool need to do, and I said they needed to reconsider and they needed to come out and admit they'd made a mistake. I didn't think I could expect them to apologise, and yet, lo and behold, three billionaire owners of Liverpool Football Club came out yesterday, acknowledged they were wrong, and apologised to supporters, which is quite remarkable.
Yeah, it's astounding, you know, and kind of heartening, Jay. If they hadn't done that, if the owners had decided to ride this out and take the criticism and push the price increase forward, realistically, what would have happened? You know, it's not those supporters would have been back, wouldn't they? Still next season?
No, I think Liverpool and the owners misjudged the mood on this. I think they thought they could do this and expect maybe some anger, you know, on social media or on forums and, you know, maybe some protests and some flags. I think they thought that would have been the extent of the expression of any anger. And I think Saturday really concerned them. For us, and we were talking to supporters that this would have carried on for us, and we were planning, you know, further protests. We were talking to supporters about that, and we'd also started contacting club sponsors and official partners. And one of those we started contacting last week was Subway, and bombarding them with emails and tweets on Twitter to tell them that, you know, they needed to intervene and speak to the owners and tell them it wasn't acceptable. You know, clearly the pressures begin to tell on them. I think the impact, if they had have completely ignored it, is that they probably would have angered a lot of supporters, and they probably would have priced supporters out of going to Anfield, and I think they quickly realised that's not something they want to do.
You know, one of the other things I noticed, Jay, because I listen to a lot of British radio, I listen to Talk Sport, I listen to the BBC a lot. You guys got a ton of support from people like Stan Collymore, Colin Murray. I mean, it was, you know, The Guardian, David Kahn, people like that. You got a lot of media support, didn't you?
Yeah, there's a lot of people like David Kahn and Stan Collymore and others who've talked about ticket prices for a long time and have been on, you know, have been very supportive and supporters calling for changes. What had always been the bit missing, though, was supporters had never taken action, not on this scale. And I think everyone was thinking, well, if you don't do that eventually, you know, we're just going to keep talking about it and nothing's going to change. And it was remarkable for us to see so many people, you know, I had supporters from other clubs congratulating us on such a big demonstration. And that evening, you know, Alan Shearer on Match of the Day on the BBC, you know, making the arguments that I'm used to having to make to other people, saying that ticket prices should be lower. I think what we have achieved through this is, it's pretty clear now, I think, that supporters have won the argument in the UK that ticket prices shouldn't cost any more. And in fact, clubs should be looking to reduce ticket prices given the very, very large TV deal that they've got.
I wonder, Jay, you know, I was over there during the Hicks-Gillette ownership, and, you know, the anger among the supporter base was pretty palpable if you were in the city. Now, the club was better then, though, so that kind of that mitigated it a little bit, at least through some of their term. But I wonder, you know, I wonder if the John Henry group has learned something that the Hicks Gillette folks never really, I think, understood, which is, you know, you can own the team and you get the revenue and you control the business, but, you know, you're really only a custodian of the club, that the club exists and will continue on after you're gone, and it's about the city and about the supporters. Do you think that point has been made to John Henry?
Yeah, I think it has. I think that the word custodian was used by Tomics and George Gillette, and they got it badly wrong. But obviously, in John Henry came in, and he actually said to us, you know, that they realised, you know, what Tomics and George Gillette were like, and they wanted to be custodians. And in fact, you know, John Henry, Tom Werner and Mike Gordon in their letter yesterday, you know, they used the word custodians again. I think they'll have been told by people inside the club, you know, these supporters see it as belonging to them ultimately, because, you know, because one day they will sell the club and someone else will take charge, but, you know, we'll still be here supporting them and going to matches. So, you know, they might get to make business decisions, but I think what we reminded them of on Saturday was, you know, the importance and the strength that supporters do actually have, particularly at Liverpool.
Jay, do you think this will have legs with other teams, with other fan groups? Will we see more and more organized attempts to as you say, not just hold ticket prices, but drive them down? Like, I mean, I'm thinking particularly of some of the smaller clubs. You know, maybe not the bigger clubs as much as the smaller clubs.
Well, it's a strange debate, ticket prices in the UK, because there are some clubs in the Premier League anyway who do it really well. So Leicester City, who are top of the league and look like they may well surprise everyone and win it, they have some of the cheapest ticket prices in the Premier League. So there's no correlation between success and ticket prices, which is one of the points we've made, because of the TV revenues and commercial deals and sponsorships, it's an increasingly small amount of how much clubs actually generate. But I think, you know, it has started a conversation and captured the imagination of supporters to say, well, you know, we should and will take action. And we speak to supporter groups of other clubs all the time. And we've had action and demonstrations about away ticket prices. And we'll continue them. And I'm sure, you know, clubs will probably see their supporters begin to raise this issue with them, both inside the ground and in meetings as well.
Jay, listen, we appreciate you joining us. Again, congratulations.
Thank you.
It's a great story, and just well done.
Thanks a lot.
It couldn't have been easy. You know, it was funny because I listened to some of the reports, and people were really conflicted about walking out, because you don't walk out if you're a Liverpool fan, do you?
No, it was a really difficult decision. It was a very strange feeling for me personally, because obviously we've been involved in arranging the demonstration, and you know, so we wanted that to be a success, but it was strange looking at the clock, waiting for it to turn to the 77th minute so I could get up and leave. But it was a very difficult decision for supporters, because these are people who, you know, there were a lot of people we spoke to who've never walked out, never left the Liverpool match early in 10, 20, 30 years of support on Liverpool. They've never done that, even for, you know, probably family emergencies, but I think a lot of them seen the bigger picture on this, and you know, I think that was the kind of, I think that maybe made people realise just how strongly supporters felt.
Jay, thanks so much. Take care. Best of luck the rest of the season.
Cheers. Thanks a lot.